Blog Talk Radio.
Within every moment is the possibility to experience the feeling of oneness and connection that is love. When we take a moment to close our eyes and take a breath, we can feel the connection to the air outside and around us as it enters our body and becomes us. Every one of us is connected to the world in this way. We are deeply connected to each other in this way too. When we feel close to someone, we feel love. Despite distance or time, when we feel connected to someone, we are experiencing love.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Live Up to Freedom Radio. My name is Aina Zaini Cyrus. I will be your host for next 30 minutes, or to be exact, 28 minutes. Thank you for joining me today. And as you know, I am going to talk about why images of Allah or Muhammad are forbidden under Islam. But before I do explain the reason, I want to mention, for those of you who may not know, a lot of innocent people have died, have lost their life due to this ruling of Islam. For example, the most famous, I would say, the Charlie Hebdo shooting that took place on January 7th of 2015, when two brothers went in, forced their way in, and started shooting innocent people. They managed to kill about 12 people and injure about 11. And this all started because there was a cartoon of Muhammad published on the cover of the magazine. There was another case, which I believe was 2015 as well, when Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer put together a gallery of drawing of Muhammad gallery in Texas. And again, two shooters, thankfully, they didn't make their way into the gallery. They were shot dead before they managed to get in. But an innocent police officer's life was taken on that attack. And of course, many other cases. But these two obviously got the most attention. Why, I don't know. But the point is, one of the reasons I wanted to do this is, I guess, to make a point that when I refer to Islam as a cult, as an ideology, there's a reason for it. When I explain why it's forbidden and why people lose their life for doing so, you'll see how ridiculous the reason behind it is, how sad and low for a human society is to have a cult not just freely being practiced, but also being defended by millions and billions of those who don't even belong. They're not even part of this cult, but they chose to defend it. So let's start by this. Let's break it into two categories. There are two categories of forbidden drawing or pictures of Allah, Muhammad, or any leader or imam or prophet under Islam. One category is, as always, remember, Islam is about division. So there's always a divided line between Muslims and non-Muslims. So there are the non-Muslims who would be killed if they do the drawing or draw any picture of them. And then there are the Muslims. So there are two categories. I'm going to cover them separately. Let's start by non-believers or non-Muslims. Non-Muslims will be killed shall be killed if they draw Muhammad. And as I said, I will refer to it as Muhammad, but in general, you know, it's any prophet. The non-Muslims are forbidden for a very specific reason that is called blasphemy law. Blasphemy law under Islam and Sharia is if you deny the existence of Muhammad as a last prophet, or you deny the existence of Allah, also if you mock Allah or Muhammad, that's blasphemy law. And it is referred to in Quran, specifically the mocking part, has been referred in Quran in chapter 33, verse 57, where it says, indeed, those who... Now, the word here has been translated to abuse. As you know, most of English translations are extremely sugar-coated. But the Arabic word that has been used translates properly into annoy or make fun of. So indeed, those who make fun of or annoy Allah and His messenger. This isn't about messengers, okay? It's messenger, referring in Arabic word to Muhammad. Allah has cursed them in this word and the hereafter and prepared for them a humiliating punishment. That verse is where the mocking comes from. Now, when there's a cartoon drawing of Muhammad, that's mocking Muhammad. As I said, it happened with South Park, actually, once, where they went crazy trying to take the segment down for disrespecting Muhammad. It's a cartoon. It's a funny adult cartoon, and obviously they're making fun of Muhammad. But in Quran, it says you do that, there's a punishment in this life and afterlife. Now, based on so many different chapters of Quran and Hadith and Sunnah and fatwas and ruling of imams, blasphemy, you commit blasphemy, you shall be killed. Punishment for a blasphemy is to be killed. That's a strictly Quran. So that's why those non-Muslims who draw cartoons, they're mocking Muhammad, therefore they should be punished. Also, in general, altogether as one category, Muhammad said that the painters, those who paint any sort of face, any sort of a living creature, will be punished. Any sort. Not just Muhammad, not Allah, not Imams, any kind of human drawing will be punished. Now, just in case, this is a hadith. If you need a reference number, it's book 18th, hadith 168. And exactly so, the messenger of Allah said, those who draw pictures will be punished on the day of resurrection, and it will be said to them, breathe soul into what you have created. Now, this is when Muslims come to picture. If a Muslim draw a picture of Muhammad, again, or in general, any picture of a breathing human, they will be punished because Allah said in Quran, chapter 6, verse 93, and who is more unjust than one who invents a lie about Allah or says it has been inspired to me? Now, this is referring to someone who can say they can create what Allah created. It's a very long verse. I'm not going to read all of it. But chapter 6, verse 93, if you read it, goes to say that those who make drawings and they say they were inspired to do this drawing, this picture of a breathing creature, are saying that they can create what Allah did. And unless they can give it a soul, then they have committed a sin by lying and mocking Allah. Based on that, if a Muslim does the drawing, then they have committed a sin by comparing themselves to Allah. And no one is allowed to do that. Now, there are so many different hadith about Muhammad constantly talking about those who do drawings, or if there's a picture of a face, they will be burned and they will be punished. And I mean, so many, probably over 10, 20 of them. One of them can be found on Sahih al-Bukhari, Book 4, Hadith 241. There's another one narrated by Aisha, Sahih al-Bukhari, Book 72, Hadith 838. Where Aisha said, Allah's messenger came back from a journey when I had placed a curtain of mine having pictures over the door. When Muhammad, or Allah's messenger, saw it, he tore it and said, the people who will receive the severest punishment will be those who try to make the like of Allah's creation. Same thing again. Somebody did a drawing, so they will be punished because they try to say they can create what Allah has created. And then, as I said, there are two verses in Quran about the believers and non-believers who mock Allah by doing drawing or making fun of Muhammad. As most of you who have followed me know, there are two major sects of Islam. Now, this is where it gets a little different, because I heard somebody, or somebody actually asked me, that is it true that there are different levels? Certain levels are allowed to draw and certain aren't. So let me answer that. So basically, to conclude real quick, at the end of the day, you shall be killed if you draw a picture of Muhammad because you're mocking Muhammad, and Muhammad is just that good, that perfect. Remember, Muhammad is a perfect example of a man and shall not be mocked. And as a Muslim, if you do, then you are mocking Allah and His power. So, and as you know, under Islam, everything is what? Punishable by death. You take one wrong step and you shall die. So that is it. This is it. This is the bottom line of why pictures of Muhammad or Allah are forbidden under Islam. That's it. Here's how I look at it. I'm like, well, Allah supposedly created all of us, but then He's so unsure of His creation and His talent that He's worried that if some talented person sit there and make a drawing of my face, then I might start praising and worshiping the painter because he did what Allah did. Makes absolutely no sense, just like everything else under Islam, that makes no sense. But in a simple term, drawing or images of Muhammad are forbidden under Islam because that is mocking the perfect example of a man. Now, if you look at Sunni sect of Islam, you will see that there are no pictures of Muhammad, there are no pictures of Abu Bakr, there are no pictures of Umar, or there are no pictures of Usman, the three caliphs after Muhammad on Sunni sect. They don't exist either. The Sunni sect of Islam is extremely, and I mean extremely strict when it comes to that matter. Now, that does not come from the Hadith, that does not come from Quran. It comes from ruling of Muftis, where they say if there is a portrait of an Islamic leader like Muhammad, like Abu Bakr, Umar, then it will give them such power that people will start worshiping them instead of Allah. Again, goes back to Allah having absolutely no confidence in His creation. Apparently, it's that easy for everyone to turn their back to Allah and worship something else or someone else. So all the fatwas on Sunni side forbids any Islamic rulers or leaders drawing. It's not just limited to Muhammad. But on the other sect, the major sect of Shia, it's actually allowed. You will find Ali, Hussein, all the 12 Imams, except the 12th one. You find the 11 Imams of Shia sect, pictures, drawings, paintings, all over the place. In Islamic Republic of Iran, a lot of devoted Muslims, you go to their houses, you'll see these are like either printed or painted, or actually there are rugs, those like frame rugs, literal rugs, of especially Ali, the first Imam of Shia sect. There are allowed. However, the Muhammad drawing is still not allowed. Muhammad has to be either drawing in the shadow or a complete face of light. That's all there is, like the picture I used on the segment. And the reason for Shias allowing the rest is because they, as I have said before many times, they follow the Sharia, the Quran and Sunnah a lot closer. They don't make their own judgment on rulings. So because Quran and Hadith only and only forbidden Allah and Muhammad's mocking or drawing, therefore Shia sects follow that very specific ruling. So it's okay to draw other Imams, but still not Muhammad or Allah. And then there is the Wahhabi sect, which perfect example of it would be Saudi Arabia. And Wahhabis, actually, do a lot of drawing and mocking of Sunni and Shia Imams. However, they follow the same rule with Muhammad and Allah. They do mock the 12 Imams of Shia, and they do mock the 3 Caliph of Sunni, obviously, because of the battle between them, because they don't officially consider the Shia Imams Muslims or Imams. They don't believe in the power they took, so they easily mock them. I guess what I'm trying to say is, yes, it is a little different between each sect when it comes to secondary level of Imams and Caliphs, but no matter which sect of Islam, drawing of Muhammad will be punished by death because it is considered blasphemy. And as a Muslim, drawing of Muhammad will be punished by death because it will be considered as comparing yourself to ability of creation like Allah. We had, this case obviously never made it outside of Iran, but there was a journalist in Iran who went ahead and did a deep research into history books that are nowadays available in Iran. And he did decide to go ahead and do a drawing of Muhammad based on all descriptions and everything that was said. Actually, you can find this drawing. It's in black and white. It's a very ugly-looking, overweight, scary-looking face. He did not do this, however, to mock Muhammad or anything. He was trying to have a piece of drawing based on descriptions and text of Hadith and history. And he was the first person to be executed after Islamic Republic of Iran took power, after Islamic regime in Iran took power after 1979. I do believe it was 82 or 83 when he was executed. Forgive me as I did not pull his name, but I will make sure to come back and put it on the chat. But he was the first one to be officially executed in Islamic Republic of Iran for actually making a drawing of Muhammad. A lot of people to this day use it by confusion of Abu Bakr. Shia people use that picture thinking they're looking at Abu Bakr, who supposedly the enemy, was the first enemy of Shia sect. So they use it. But originally that picture, that drawing, was originated by a historian man who sat there for years and years and studied and put pieces together and came up with that drawing based on description of Aisha, Ali, Fatima, Mohammed's daughter, Abu Bakr himself, and any other evidence that was. Because there are descriptions. If you read the hadith, there are parts where Aisha, for example, talks about Mohammed's eyes or eyebrows, and Fatima talks about Mohammed's height and weight being her father. And Ali talks about the strength of Muhammad. You know, he basically just put those little puzzles together. Anyways, not to get sidetracked here. And however, there has never been such a huge number of death and execution within Islamic societies, within Muslims. The biggest number of casualties for drawing Muhammad has been always the non-Muslim category. Well, obviously, first of all, Muslims try to stay away from it and not do it because they take Islamic rulings a lot more serious than we do. Now, well, exclude me, most of Western society does. Unfortunately, that's the thing. When Hebdo case happened, I personally was disappointed when some groups started doing the Muhammad drawing. I'm like, wait. This isn't fighting them. Okay, I know what you're doing. I understand you want to draw Muhammad to prove a point that we have freedom to draw whatever we want. But the point is, you're just going to get more innocent people killed, and you're not going to make a point. And that was exactly the case. If you look back after Hebdo, anyone who tried, they ended up being blamed for provoking Muslims. And it didn't change Muslims' mind. It wasn't like we taught them something. Remember, you can never teach a Muslim anything. What a Muslim will learn is what a Muslim is told from age 1 hour old. There is no teaching them. Yes, we could debate them that based on your Quran, based on your teaching, there is no freedom of speech because if I mock your prophet, you kill me. You can make that argument verbally. You don't have to actually go and draw Muhammad and get people killed to prove the point. I mean, the Hebdo case proved that point. It was an accident. What I mean by accident is on the side of Hebdo magazine, it was an accident. They really didn't think they're going to get killed for it. They weren't really doing it to prove a point. They did it. 12 people died. 11 people were injured for God knows how long. It was a disaster. But from there on, there is no point of continuously drawing Muhammad. What's the point? They're not going to learn anything. They're just going to keep on killing people until no one draws Muhammad. And to be honest with you, as an ex-Muslim, I don't even understand the concept. Like, who cares? There are so many more horrible things. There are so many more human rights lacking in Islam that not being able to draw Muhammad shouldn't be our concern. It shouldn't be the pressing issue that we're going to try to get out there. Okay, fine. They don't want their prophet drawing. Okay, fine. There are more serious issues under Islam. I personally can leave with knowing that Muslims cannot draw Muhammad, or even non-Muslims can't. What I would rather press and be worried about is the fact that a 9-year-old girl can be married off and raped. That's what I'd rather push for change, push for a change, or at least push for exposure. What I'd rather fight for is the fact that me as an ex-Muslim should be killed because I'm an ex-Muslim. I'd rather fight for non-Muslims who will be killed and are being killed daily in Islamic countries for not being a Muslim. I hope you understand. This isn't about me saying, well, good for them if they don't draw their prophet. I'm just saying this is not one of the biggest issues. If you look at Islam as a picture, the smallest tiny piece of the corner of this puzzle is the fact that if you draw Muhammad, they kill you. That is the tiniest problem there, ladies and gentlemen. There are bigger pieces of this puzzle that needs to fit in first. There are so many heart-wrenching, inhuman act worse than the fact that you can draw Muhammad. Well, it's okay. As I said, I can leave with that. I can be okay with that. So I guess what I'm trying to say, as ridiculous as this is, I'll admit to that, it's ridiculous. You know, recently, I actually put that on my Facebook page today. Nadia Hussein grabbed the microphone and started running her mouth on a Women's March yesterday, saying that, you know, how the Quran, her holy Quran, is what God gave the idea to Thomas Jefferson to come up with our First Amendment. I'm like, oh God, you see what I mean? That is more important to address. That is more important to combat. Yes, that could be part of our agreement, argument. Hey, Nadia, by the way, so since your Quran was part of brainstorming and I coming up with ideas with the First Amendment, how about the fact that you will kill me if I draw your Muhammad, your prophet, because she brought up Prophet Muhammad. Yes, you could argue that. But again, there are so many other parts that needs to be completely poked at, rather than let's keep drawing Muhammad or posting ugly pictures of Muhammad. I'm all for it if anybody can explain to me what does that do for the fight. I'm all for it. The same argument I do with making memes. A meme is not going to hurt anybody's feelings, okay? A meme is not going to do anything for the fight. Same thing with this. We can keep on pushing and keep on putting ugly yes pictures of Muhammad, but then what? There are more solid facts. The truth of the matter is there is no proof of how Muhammad looked like. Everything is a guess, including that black and white drawing that somebody put pieces of history together. The bottom line is there is no fact or proof of how Muhammad looked like. But guess what? There's more than enough proof, there's more than enough fact of who Muhammad was. Why can we press against that instead of a bunch of random cartoons and characters and pictures that's going to hurt their feelings? You know how we stand up and say your feelings are irrelevant? If we really mean that, then why are we trying to poke their feelings constantly? Why can't we fight with facts? Was Muhammad ugly? Was Muhammad pretty? Nobody knows. But guess what? For definite fact and enough proof within your own teaching, Muhammad was a damn pedophile. Here's your proof. That, to me, that is way more reasonable to use and fight with than a bunch of pictures and a bunch of memes and a bunch of God knows what. Yes, their reasoning is ridiculous. Yes, we could get so many more people killed. But again, I will stop repeating myself, but I would need to know why. If there is a reason and there is a way, this will help. I'll be the first one to draw a Muhammad for you. I think I could have a better guesstimate of how Muhammad looked like, considering he directly affected my life, my dignity, my childhood. But until I have a reason, I'm not going to go there. I will sit here and continue telling people who Muhammad was rather than how Muhammad looked like, because I don't care how he looked like. I care how he affected 1,400 years of civilization, woman rights, and children rights. With that being said, my time is up. You all stay safe and stay vigilant. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you in 2 weeks, same channel. If you haven't followed my channel, please do so. And again, if you see something, say something and continue getting educated. Thank you all.